this morning. If you go ahead and turn there, we're going to continue our look in the book of James and our new study, Life According to Jim. All right, a couple of things. All right, so this is our third Sunday here in the new place, and next Sunday is the official grand opening. And so we're going to have we expect a few dignitaries and folks who are going to come and celebrate with us that day. We're going to have a ribbon-cutting event right after the service, so it's going to be right out here in front. And so we want everybody to come and be a part of that and part of the group picture and just a wonderful day. We have an open house on Saturday. I'll talk more about that later. But I wanted to say a thank you. Because these few weeks we've been trying to, you know, figure things out and work on logistics and get things settled. And I can tell both by how I feel, and it's hard for me because I'm under these lights and it's literally about 20 degrees warmer up here, that we know it's warm in here. How many of you think it's too warm in here? Raise your hand. All right, cool. All right, good, good. That's what we call a consensus opinion, okay? So week number one, we set the thermostats at 70. That didn't work at all. Last week, we set the thermostats at 68. Today, we set the thermostats at 64. So believe it or not, at 8 o'clock this morning, it was really nice in here. It was really nice in here. So I say that to let you know that we're aware of it. We're working on it. We're going to do we need some ceiling fans, what we need. We need to move some of the air around. That's one of the big things we need to do. So we're going to try to have some fans available next week to just kind of start moving the air and stuff, and we'll talk and figure out what we can do to cool it a little bit more. If everybody could, though, just stop breathing, that would really help us out as we go through the transition. I'm kidding, of course. But I just wanted to say thank you, because I know we've had, you know, we're just getting used to what this looks like, and so I'm grateful for your patience, your understanding, and just know that if there's other things, you know, on your connection card, there's, you know, it's prayer requests, praise reports, and comments. And so if there's anything that you think, you know, we should be aware of, or something that you think would be helpful, or an idea or suggestion, please don't hesitate. Please don't hesitate to let us know. And but I just wanted to kind of, you know, the elephant in the room, because I went back there, because like I said, I'm always hot, so it's hard for me to kind of figure it out. But when I went in the back to kind of work on some of the technical issues we were having with the microphone, I was like, it's really warm back here. So so we realized that, and we're working on it. So thank you for your patience, and thank you so much for being here today. It's so wonderful to have little McKenna here in service today, Millington. So John, Amanda, so great to have you guys, and welcome to McKenna back there. So God bless you, sweetheart. And congratulations, you guys, and we're so glad to have you in the service today. All right, so James chapter 1 is where we're at. Are the ushers ready with Bibles? You guys have some Bibles? Grab some Bibles there in the back. Is there anybody that needs a Bible this morning? If you came and you don't have a Bible, we want to make sure you get a Bible. So go ahead and lift up your hand if you just forgot a Bible today and would like to like to use it during the service, then you can set it back on the table. Go ahead and lift up your hand. So anybody need a Bible today? Go ahead and lift up your hand, and one of the ushers will get you a Bible. And we're in James chapter number 1 this morning. We've been going through a series in the book of James. So if it's your first time, if you've missed a couple, they're all on our website. So you can go to our website, you can listen and catch up. We're going through this book verse by verse by verse. And we've had a great time going through James, and we're going to continue with this morning with verses 22 to 25. The Bible says this: but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. We just can't underestimate this book, the book that you hold in your hands today, the book that you walked in with this morning, the book that you were just handed by an usher. We just can't underestimate the value of it. It's one of the reasons why in every service, we're about 3.5, going on almost 4 years old in January, there are a lot of things that have changed about our church and different ways we've done things and adapted to different circumstances. There is one thing we have always done from the very first service is we have always handed out Bibles. We have handed out hundreds and hundreds of Bibles in our almost 4 years of existence because we believe passionately about the power of having a copy of the Scriptures in your hand. We believe in it very, very dearly. Now, how many of you have heard of the Gideons? How many of you have ever heard of the Gideons? All right, several of you. Okay, if you've been in a hotel room, you've opened up the drawer and you've seen a Gideon Bible. Gideon's International, an evangelical Christian organization committed to spreading God's word around the world. It was founded in 1899. In Wisconsin, and the very first free Bible was placed in the Superior Hotel in Superior, Montana in 1908. 1908 was the first time one of those Bibles was placed in a hotel, and now there are over a billion Gideon's Bibles all over the world because of the importance of this book. And so we're going to show a quick video. And this video is what is the text inside every Gideon Bible. Check it out.
The Bible contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its stories are true, and its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, and practice it to be holy. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, and comfort to cheer you. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the pilot's compass, the soldier's sword, and the Christian's charter. Here, paradise is restored, heaven opened, and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its grand subject, our good, the design, and the glory of God, its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, and prayerfully. It is a mine of wealth, health to the soul, and a river of pleasure. It involves the highest responsibility, will reward the greatest labor, and will condemn all who trifle with its sacred contents. Pray it in, read it through, live it out, and pass it on.
That's what's in every Gideon Bible. Now, how many of you halfway through that video are like, that's got to be Morgan Freeman's voice. That's got to be Morgan Freeman. It actually isn't. It actually isn't, but it sounds just like Morgan Freeman. We need to be so thankful for this book. It absolutely needs to be at the core of everything we believe, everything we do. We say it is our only rule for faith and for practice, and I'm trusting God that he'll give us a blessing today as we go through these verses of Scripture. And today's text gives us a very simple truth. Just do it. Just do it. According to Nike company lore, one of the most famous and easily recognized slogans in advertising history was coined at a 1988 meeting with Nike executives and their ad firm. And as they were sitting around the table trying to come up with marketing strategies, Reebok was kind of handing it to them back in the day. The ad executives looked at the Nike people and said, "You guys just do it around here. You guys just do it." And from that sprang one of the most recognizable slogans in all of marketing. Now Nike averaged the tune of $28.7 billion in revenue in 2014. All right, so pretty amazing. Our purpose statement for today, the path of blessing is discovered in a lifestyle of obedience. The path of blessing is discovered in a lifestyle of obedience. So four quick points today. You've got in your bulletin, there's an outline if you want to take some notes as we go through there this morning. Let's take a look at where we're at. Number one, be mindful of reception. Okay, be mindful of reception. But be doers of the word and not hearers only. So one of the things we've got to do when it comes to the Word of God is we need to acknowledge the limitations of just being a listener, of just being a hearer. Now, some of you that were here last week are going to say, now, Pastor Greg, you spent an entire service, you spent an entire message about the importance of listening to the Word of God, listening to God's voice through the Holy Scriptures, and now you're saying that's not enough. That's exactly what I'm saying. It's where we have to start, but it's not where we need to end. We can't be a hearer or a listener only, but it is not enough. Quick recap of last week. It was quick to listen, have an attentive spirit toward the word, slow to speak, dangers of divine confrontation, and slow to anger, being upset with the message. Okay, so that's one of the things we learned last week about the importance of the word. But we're not merely to listen to it. Listening to it will only take you so far. The very first ministry that my wife were involved in, this has been going on over 20 years ago now, was a small country church in Altona, Illinois. And back in those days, we didn't have, you know, smartphones, and we didn't have, you know, GPS device stuff. So we would go to MapQuest. Any former MapQuest users, that was my you know, mapping program of choice back in the day. But we lived in this very small town. There were only 550 people in this town. You had to go 20 minutes to go grocery shopping. You had to go 20 minutes to do anything, you know, outside of just what you might need there in town. There was just a little gas station mini mart. You had to go 20 minutes to get KFC mashed potatoes and gravy, which is what my wife craved during both of her pregnancies while we were there. So I made so many trips back and forth to Galesburg just to get KFC mashed potatoes and gravy. But when we would MapQuest there in that new community, because I was from Chicago, and so I lived in the, we now lived in the small community, a lot of the roads weren't marked. You know, it would get you close to where you were going, but we lived in the community where it was like, you know, go to the oak tree and then turn down, and when you see Old Bob's mailbox, turn left. And, you know, that wasn't how the instructions would be on MapQuest. So it was a good tool. It got us, but it didn't get us all the way there. It only took us so far. Listening is the same way. You've got to listen. You've got to be a hearer. You've got to be attentive to the Word of God. But if it's just listening, if it's just hearing, if it's just soaking it in, and there's no action that follows it, it is never going to take you to where God clearly wants it to continue to go. So be mindful of its importance. I don't anyone want to get the impression today that we're minimizing the importance of listening. But we need to acknowledge its limitations. So by all means, keep reading your Bible. Keep coming to services. Join a small group. You know, do all you can to soak in God's word. But don't remain in a passive mode. Don't remain only in a receptive mode. Start there. And then, number two, be committed to action. Be committed to action. The Bible says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. The word for listeners in verse 21 is a word that gives the idea of auditing a class. How many of you are familiar with what auditing a class is like? Okay? So I'll never forget the first time I was made aware of what it meant to audit a class. Basically, you go to the class, you attend the class, you participate in the discussions of the class, but there aren't any tests, and there are no projects, and there's no assignments. You can just kind of sit there and hit that next slide. So you've got school here on the left, and that's going to be some of you guys here just, you know, pretty soon. What's going on? And then here's the person on the right, this person auditing the class. Like, it's just great. Like, I just get to show up and hang out with my friends and get some information, but there's nothing expected of me. There's nothing required of me. There's no action on my part that's necessary. Can I say something? There are a lot of Christians that are auditing the Christian life. They're just in a passive mode. They're just in a receptive mode. They're trying to gain the stuff, but they're not having to put things into action in their life. And the Bible commands us to not just be hearers, but to be doers, to obey the word, to just do it. And it's one of the keys of this book. Our very first message, this was one of the verses that we targeted, that we highlighted as being one of the key verses of this entire book, because the whole premise is we need to be living out our faith. We need to be living out what we say we believe. It can't just be in our heads. It can't just be in our hearts. It needs to be visible with our hands. We need to be out there living the gospel to the people around us. Not just about listening, not just about knowing, but doing. Look at some of these scriptures that are throughout the gospels. John 15:14, you are my friends if you do what I command. John 14:23, Jesus replied, anyone who loves me will obey my teaching. Next one. 1 John 2:3, we know that we have come to know him if we keep his commands. John 14:24, anyone who does not love me will not obey my teaching. And then last one, 1 John 2:4, whoever says I know him but does not do what he commands is a liar, and the truth is not in that person. Those are pretty tough words. Acknowledging the connection, acknowledging the relationship between our knowledge of things, our knowledge of Scripture, our knowledge of what God wants us to do, and then actually doing it. Great example of this, putting things into practice and action accompanying knowledge, is driver's education. Okay, any of you taking driver's ed this year? Anybody taking driver's ed? We want to take notes. Yeah, yeah, Kayla Manser right there. Yeah, watch out for her on the road. Anybody else want to, you know, cop to the fact you're taking driver's ed? Not now, right? Okay. So driver's education. What are you doing? You're filling your head with all of this knowledge. Well, our hope is, daughter, that you're going to put that into action. I'll never forget, you know, I took driver's ed a long time ago, okay? It's been a long time since I took driver's ed. And I'll still never forget the one thing I learned in driver's ed that has stayed with me all of these years was the fact that my driver's ed instructor told us to be careful about, like, distractions. You know, when you're driving, to be careful about distractions. And he said that every time you sneeze, your eyes close. So if you sneeze, your eyes close. And he said if you ever sneezed, and it's like a defense mechanism, because if you sneezed with your eyes open, your eyeballs would shoot out of your head. It's a great thing to tell a 15-year-old doing driver's ed. So the entire time, just like, okay, when I sneeze, I'm going to close. I don't want my eyeballs shooting all over the dashboard, okay? I was traumatized, emotionally scarred by that driver's education course that I took so many years ago, okay? That driver's education, you're learning the rules of the road. You're learning about a vehicle. You're learning about how it operates. But then you got to get out on the road. You got to drive. You got to use the turn signal. You've got to use the gas, use the clutch, all the different things related to that. You need to put those things into action. Action must accompany knowledge, and the same thing is true spiritually. We can get puffed up and filled up and understand that I understand the Bible and I understand God's plan and I know the Sunday school stories and I know all these things. What are we doing with that information? What are we doing with that knowledge? Is it being accompanied by action? And we can go through the scriptures. Children, obey your parents. Husband, love your wives. Fathers, don't provoke your children to wrath. I mean, there's story after story, truth after truth, precept after precept of this is how we know life should be. This is how God would want us to live. But if we're just in a passive, receptive mode and we're not putting it into action, it's falling by the wayside. So let's be a people, a family, a church of action. Be doers of the word and not hearers only. It goes on to say, deceiving yourselves. And that's number three. Be wary of deception. Be wary of deception. The Bible referred to that earlier in verse number 16. Said, do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. And our key point here is to guard your heart. We can deceive ourselves. We can deceive ourselves into thinking, well, I know it, but maybe don't have to live it, or I'm living it in a different way. What does God want us to do? The word for deceive here means to reason beside or alongside, and therefore refers to incorrect reckoning or reasoning, often including the idea of deliberate false reasoning for the purpose of deceiving. And if I could use a math illustration, okay, 2 + 2 = 5. That is deception. That is deceiving ourselves, you know. We can look at the scripture, we can look at what God says, but when we come to the wrong conclusion, it's just as deceptive as believing that 2 + 2 = 5. And that's a scary place to be. It's a scary place to be, you know, under the teaching of the Word of God and under the ministry of the Word of God, but to not get it to such a degree and to such an extent that we have fooled ourselves into thinking that we are, but we're really not. We live our lives as if 2 + 2 = 5. And then he gives us the analogy of the mirror. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. Okay? So here's one of the mirrors that we used in a vacation Bible school. We're all familiar with the mirror, right? We're all familiar with the mirror. Here you are. Can you see yourselves? Oh, wow, that's different. Wow, okay, sorry about that. Doing hand signals there. That was bad. All right. Won't do that for the grand opening. Okay, put that on the list. But we're all familiar with a mirror. We're all familiar with what a mirror does. Every person this morning looked in the mirror. Turn to the person next to you and say, thank you for looking in the mirror. Okay? Right. Every person looked in the mirror this morning, and we saw hair kind of flat on one side, and we saw stubble, And we maybe didn't see it, but we smelled something coming out of our mouth that wasn't very pleasant. We thought, you know what? I'm going to be with a bunch of people today. I better do something about this. And some of us do the best we can with what God gave us, you know? So just be kind, all right? Be kind and be gracious. But listen, but that's exactly what happens every single day. We go to the mirror, we evaluate what's in the mirror, and then we adjust, we adapt, we make changes, we go into action. And we grab all the stuff to, again, make ourselves look different than what we did when we climbed out of bed in the morning. It's one thing to recognize our imperfections. It's quite another to not remember what we have seen. And living a life of delusion is no place to be. The Word of God is a mirror. The Word of God is a mirror that we look at. It shows us things about ourselves. And the Bible says, don't be forgetful. Don't just walk away and forget what you saw. Do something about it. Do something about it. Okay, dads, husbands, what does the Bible say about our relationship with our wives? What does the Bible say about our relationship with our children? Well, compared to the guys I work with, my wife's got it made. That is 2 + 2 + 5 thinking. 2 + 2 = 5 thinking. We're deceiving ourselves. We need to go to the Word, acknowledge the Word, listen to the Word, and then make changes. And we need to be wary of deception that can occur. The Christian without discernment is far worse than the emperor that didn't have any clothes. You're familiar with that story? The emperor had no clothes? The Christian without discernment, an equally scary proposition, okay? So be wary of deception. And then number four, lastly, be intentional in devotion. Be intentional in devotion. Verse 25, but the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. So the Bible says, enjoy the blessing. Enjoy the blessing that comes from knowing that we're living according to God's principles. That we're not just taking it in a passive, receptive way, but we are by the strength of God, by the strength of the Holy Spirit, seeking to live out those principles and enjoy the blessing. Bible talks here about looking intently. You know, when he was talking earlier about looking in the mirror, looking intently. The idea of looking intently actually gives the idea of bending over and carefully examining something. I remember when I was 10 years old. Here's a picture of a guy that, you know, is looking at some money on the ground. I remember when I was 10 years old walking up to the store, and I found it must have just come right out of the bank. It was a crisp, brand new $50 bill. And it was like under the fence. It was like being pinned under the fence. And to this day, I still think it was some kind of like candid camera thing. You know, like I was looking around, like, you know, like whose could this be? I mean, it was absolutely pristine, like someone had placed it there. I went into the store that it was nearest, and they're like, you know, well, we don't know, and there's no way to know. So I said, you could have it. And $50 for a 10-year-old, I was on cloud nine. Who am I kidding? If I found a $50 bill today, I would be on cloud nine, and I'm 44. So, but the idea, you know, when I saw that, I was like, you know, is that real? And, you know, that looking intently, that looking sincerely, that real, that sincere gaze upon what's there. And that's how the Bible says about our lives, to look intently. The perfect law, the Bible says, gives freedom. See, the devil says, the enemy says, that the perfect law, following after God's way, oh, you're not going to have any fun. Life's going to be a drag. You're going to be under the thumb of God and the church and those spiritual religious people. Nothing could be further from the truth. It's not bondage but liberty. Look at this verse, Romans chapter 6, and jot these verses down. The entire Romans 5, 6, 7, just awesome stuff. But check out these verses in Romans 6. Don't you know that when you offer yourselves to someone as obedient slaves, you are slaves of the one you obey, whether you're slaves to sin, which leads to death, or to obedience, which leads to righteousness. You are a servant of something. This whole notion of, you know, like, I'm my own man, I'm free. It only comes through Christ. But thanks be to God that though you used to be slaves to sin, you have come to obey from your heart the pattern of teaching that has now claimed your allegiance. You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. Can I say that last one again? You have been set free from sin and have become slaves to righteousness. That's where I want to be. That's where I want to be. I struggle. I despair. I mess up. But that's where I want to be, free, claiming that victory that is mine. God's blessing, as we look intently into the law of liberty, and as we make the changes that we see and we put these things into action, the Bible says he will be blessed in his doing. God's blessing is result. Look at this verse, Joshua 1:8. You might be familiar with it. Keep this book of the law always on your lips. Meditate on it day and night so that you may be careful to do everything written in it. Then you will be prosperous and successful. Now, catch this, okay, before we close this morning. We are not talking about acceptance. We are not talking about you better live a certain way. You better live to a certain standard. You better act in a certain way, because if you don't, God isn't going to love you and God's not going to accept you. It is not about acceptance. Make sure you get that today. Jesus came to this world because we could not be accepted on our own, but because of the sacrifice of Jesus Christ on the cross and our claiming of that for our own lives personally, we are accepted by God just as if we had never sinned. Can I get an amen? Amen. That is one of the greatest blessings of the Christian life, is that my standing before God, I am absolutely righteous, I am sin-free, and I am accepted into his family, no questions asked. Except, what have you done with Jesus? What have you done with my son Jesus? Okay? So we're not talking about acceptance. We're not talking about you better live a certain way, do certain things to be accepted by God. What we're talking about is blessing. Blessing. And what do we mean by blessing? We mean peace, contentment, joy, an understanding that comes from coming to agreement with God about who we are and where we are to be as we look in the mirror of his word. Blessing will not be found apart from both listening and doing what God says. That's where blessing comes. It is found, you know, I had one of my professors in college used to say this all the time. I don't know if it was original with him, but he used to say, you'll never seek after happiness and find it. If you go looking for happiness, you will never, ever find it. Happiness is something that you stumble upon along the path of obedience. I have found that to be true in my own life. And I hope that you will find that to be true in your life. Not so that God will love you more. Not so that you'll be accepted by God. That's all taken care of Jesus on the cross. But I want God's blessing on my life. I want God's blessing on our family. I want God's blessing on this church. It means we need to be doers. And not just hearers. Not just listeners. We want to put into action what he has asked from us to do. The path of blessing is discovered in a lifestyle of obedience. The path of blessing is discovered in a lifestyle of obedience. We need to be mindful of reception. Be mindful of it. Listening isn't enough. Listening is important. You got to start there, but it's not enough. You need to move on. Be committed to action. Be a doer of the word. What is God challenge you? What is God challenging you about in your life? Are you doing it, or are you just listening to it? Be wary of deception. Be careful, it can happen to you. You can go to the mirror, and you'll be like, you know, I'm actually okay, and you're not, because we've convinced ourselves that 2 + 2 = 5. And we need to be intentional in devotion. Blessing awaits you. Let me close with this quote from William Barclay. He said this, very powerful. Jesus did not say, discuss me. He said, follow me. We do not make terms with Christ, we surrender to Christ. We do not compromise with Christ, we submit to Christ. Christianity does not mean being interested in Jesus Christ, it means taking the same oath as princes take to a king or queen in a coronation ceremony. Who's sitting on the throne of your life today? Who's in charge? Are you listening? Are you doing? Are you following through? Are you taking this book? Are you taking it into your life? And examining your heart and examining your life and examining your schedule and examining your relationships and examining the things that are around you and putting into practice those things that we know God wants us to do. Blessing awaits. Blessing awaits. Enjoy the blessing of God in your life. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for the time this morning. And Lord, I pray for your help. I pray for your strength. We're all sinful. We're all fallen. We all struggle. We all look to the Word. We see things that we know we need to change. But sometimes we have a hard time. Lord, give strength, give victory, give power to each one. Lord, there may be a husband struggling with his relationship with his wife. There may be someone who's got struggling with their thought life, struggling with the words that come out of their mouth. It's harsh or critical or whatever, Lord. There may be children here, and they've got a bad attitude about mom and dad. They're not honoring their parents as you would want them to. Lord, I pray that you would speak to our hearts, and in those areas where we know you want us to make a change, we would do that. We would be committed to action. Not so that we'll be accepted, but so that we'll be blessed and so that we'll see impact made in our world, the people around us. May people see the difference that Jesus has made in our lives by what we do, by what we say. May it be a proper reflection of your grace and of your love. And with every head bowed and every eye closed, let me just ask in closing this morning, you're hearing you say, Pastor Greg, you know, that's me this morning. I need to be putting into practice the things that I've learned. I've been challenged in a certain area in my life, your relationship or whatever it is. And say, Pastor Greg, pray for me today that I would have victory in my life, that I would leave this building this morning committed to being a doer of the word and not a listener only. That's my prayer. Would you lift up your hand quickly so that I could see it? Amen. God bless you. God bless you. Thank you all over the room this morning. I pray for you that God would give you courage and strength and victory to not be just a listener, but a doer of the word, to just do it. Father, I pray for my friends who lifted the hand today, and I pray that you would bless them, that you'd encourage them. You know exactly what's going on in their lives. You know exactly what they're struggling with. You know exactly that area of life that has a grip, that has a hold. I pray, Lord, that you would give them victory today. Lord, may each one of us leave this place, not just thinking about it, not just having heard it, but doing it, committed to action, so that people might be reached, that people might be blessed, that people might be impacted by what you're doing in and through our lives. Thank you, God, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.